And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den on the break. That was the Bagdaddios. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. I guess before we were talking about Wynwood and the tale of a tragic sound man. and me, the tale of a tragic comedian. So this is a little different. We don't always do this, but I found this article about visitations from people from the beyond by loved ones to people that are still living. And we've talked about extra ordinary things before.
Right.
Whether it be Kesha having sex with a ghost or...
Yeah.
Story. I mean, who knows? I don't know. But whatever.
Who knows?
This seemed kind of interesting to me. This is a blog by Amanda Lynette Meter. She's a psychic medium. She also has her own show on a podcast of her own. So I found this kind of interesting. In the future, we might have Amanda on the show. Not really sure. Me personally, I don't know. I don't have a strong belief one way or the other if this is real. I mean, people. I mean, you know, we've talked about how my wife, you know, swears that, you know, the lamp in her dorm room in college was possessed by a girl who was murdered in there.
Oh, wow.
I think they were.
Why don't you get another dorm room?
I don't, maybe because it was a nice lamp. I don't know. you know.
Out of here, man. I ain't hanging out there.
I don't know. I mean, and, you know, over the weekend at this show I was talking about, I was telling Pip before the show, I met this former detective who was working in Staten Island after 9/11 in the, by Ground Zero and by the dump where they moved all the remains and everything in Staten Island. And he just wrote a book about multiple reports. And he said he saw two of what was like a black woman in like a red veil or something, not red veil, a red cape or something that was hovering around the area, and people saw her, but nobody could find her. And it's supposedly a spirit, like a soul collector. So he's going to send me his book.
Ooh, I got the hair's raised.
Oh, I know, but me too.
So he's going to send me his book, and I'm going to read that, and we're going to interview him.
Can I have it after you?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to read that too.
So it's like, this isn't always what we do, but this was kind of an interesting article. So let's see. If we believe these things, if we've experienced these things, this is her, and maybe Miss Meter will come on the show at some point.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, if she comes on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to have her on. I'm not going to lie, she was a little skeptical at first because she hears comedians, but I'm like, yeah, we're used to
that. But believe me, there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask her.
Yeah.
If we can get you straightened out, it's worth it.
Well, I'll explain a little later. I want you to do the story, obviously, but there's a couple of things I want to say later.
So the first one, and I don't know what type of order these are in. I don't know if there's a significance to the order or not.
It doesn't seem to be, no.
Right. So visitation dreams are one of the most common methods of reconnecting with your deceased loved one. I just recently had a dream about my cats, a couple of my cats. Right. I don't know if it pertains to animals, though.
Well, you know what? I don't know if this particular woman deals with that, but there are mediums who...
I'm a lodge.
I read a book by a woman who could speak to the souls or the essence of the dead animals.
Are we believing that?
I don't know. I mean, like saying that...
It's hard enough to communicate with them when they're alive.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Really? I mean, there's not too many cat whisperers running around out there.
No, but there are people that believe that they could actually figure out what the animal is feeling. And
yeah,
and
but not dead. What do they feel? They feel light and airy.
Feel tire tracks.
They've
gonna be run by a car.
They feel tire tracks.
This is why people don't want to come on the show with us.
Thank you, Lisa. They channel spirits. I'm struggling with the language.
Go to the compound. They channel spirits there, too.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of spirits. They'll tell you exactly what they're thinking. Usually not much. So Amanda claims this is the most common way to be visited by those spirits, but both by deceased loved ones and spirit guides. So I guess maybe this is kind of like a soul collector type thing. I don't know.
Maybe. And the thing weird about dreams is, like, if this young lady calls us, I have a dream. I have a recurring dream. Every dream that I have with my mother in it, she doesn't seem happy. She doesn't seem happy.
And no, she's in your dream.
I understand that.
I was hoping for a better dream.
Yeah.
But she never seems happy. She seems kind of aloof. And, you know, and I talk to my aunt, and I go, when you dream of mom? Yeah. She goes, I dreamt of your mother a couple of nights ago. I go, Does she seem distant and not happy in your dream? She goes, yeah.
Huh.
And I go, she doesn't. I go,
but was she like that in real life?
No.
No. Huh.
No, she was not. My mother was very, an outgoing, sweet person, and it just seems
that's sad. That's got to be a very disturbing dream to wake up to.
The only thing I could equate it to is that she worked so hard and retired, and she was retired maybe about 35 days. So maybe that she's upset that she finally retired and she wanted to enjoy life, and she just dropped dead.
She's enjoying afterlife, or not.
Well, probably chasing my father with a baseball bat and committed suicide, but that's another story.
Well, it's weird that you're saying that, because I hadn't thought about it even while I was reading this, but I've had numerous dreams where my father's upset with me and is arguing with me, and I woke up crying from these dreams.
See, I would
he was
think
so upset, and we didn't have that kind of relationship at all.
I would think, from a psychological standpoint, I would think there's some type of guilt somewhere in both those relationships.
Yeah,
that's what I would think, and you're manifesting in the dreams. Now Amanda might have a different interpretation of it, but that's what mine would be.
There would be two sets, mindsets on that. Yeah. I wouldn't rule that out either.
Well, you both have therapists; you can ask them.
There's issues.
Gregor in the chat says that his dead grandfather came to him once, and he didn't believe in that sort of thing until it happened, and he still doesn't know what to make of it. I think that we're all kind of in that same.
Well, see,
boat.
that's why originally I didn't want to have Amanda on if we were all going to be skeptical about it, because I don't want to have a guest come on and just crap on what they do.
No,
and to tell you the truth, that's why I wish you would call. I mean,
she might.
I mean, if I read this stuff, maybe I would say about 20 years ago. I would say, this is all horseshit. But I've experienced, as you'll see, I've experienced some things in this article.
Well, anyway, she goes on. She goes, "They while you may talk yourself out of, quote, spirit visitation dream, even if you've had one, these types of dreams are much different than regular dreams. Do the dreams feel different?"
Yeah.
How do they feel different?
There's just a different tone of the dream where it's more melancholy. And like I said, it's my mom comes in my dreams and she doesn't even acknowledge me, and she's been gone for a while, and she'll come back.
You're not even an active participant; you're more an observer.
And it's just that she's very distant in the dream, and I mean, I've had dreams, like I said, not all the dreams of my mom are like that, but there are plenty of them where she seems distant and she went away and she doesn't remember who I am. And she.
You sure it isn't me after I make it big?
Anyway, and it's just a weird dream, and for the fact that my aunt is having dreams of my mom, where she's not.
Well,
happy.
According to Amanda,
that's
these have
sad.
A certain characteristic, though. A deceased loved one often enters the dream and is surrounded by some sort of light. Is your mom surrounded by light?
No.
Okay. While they may talk to you or ask you to deliver the message, they will usually offer some sort of comfort that they are okay. Everything is peaceful and that they made it to the other side comfortably. So this is not what Amanda is describing here is not what either of you have experienced.
No, yeah.
No light in yours either?
No, no. And it doesn't seem like what she's describing at all, because it is probably a manifestation of my guilt about certain
things. I would think psychological.
You want to know something? Yeah, and it could be distress on her, and maybe there's distress on the other side for them, looking on her end, on the other side. Also, there's a couple of things. I mean, like, when my mom, I had to go over some things with my mom about maybe 3 months before she passed away. And she goes, if I die, this is the dress I want to be buried in. And I, with everything going on, because I was doing everything when my mom passed away, I had to take casket fabric from the funeral home and go home and mix and match. And I think it was the dress she liked, but I'm.
I can't imagine her holding a grudge about the wrong dress in the afterlife.
My mom was very finicky about the way she dressed.
Yeah, but she's visiting you in the afterlife. She's bitching about a dress. I mean, that just seems very
petty. And the funny thing is that I think the dress that she liked had, like, fish and stuff.
See, man,
it.
I think this is guilt. I think you feel guilty about that. See, that from what I'm hearing, again, I was a psychology major. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say, especially since it's not what Amanda described.
It would be running along those lines where it could be. But still, you still, like, it's two ways to look at it. Is it guilt on my butt? I'm looking on the afterlife, then it could be that maybe she's not happy about something or something like that.
Number two, she says, sensing their presence. Many people report sensing the presence of their loved one around them after the passing. So I guess, like, you feel like they're in the room with you, behind you. She said, you might notice a shift when they're around, either a change in the energy or actual movement in the air. Only time I ever see movement in the air is like Elizabeth. I really don't see air movement. Maybe I'm not attuned to it. I don't know. She said, perhaps at night you notice pressure in the bed next to you, which kind of made me think of what Kesha was talking about, as if someone got into bed with you, or you might feel like someone is sitting next to you in the evenings while you read a book. She continues, this is a common type of visit. If you're very close with the person you feel is visiting you and you were able to notice their presence while they were alive, you still have, she says, you still have the ability to feel them when they are gone. She says they are the same essence they were with the body now without the body. That would kind of spook me out.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
You guys haven't felt that?
No.
I did feel after my dad died, because I happened to work in the same building where he had worked at one point. And there's when this one closet where he built the shelves in it. And so there were elements of my dad still in the building. And there was one time where they had built an addition onto the building. And we were there when that was all happening. And there was one time I was in this one room and it was alone. And it was in the evening. And I got this strong sense that my dad was in the room with me. It wasn't like a feeling of pressure in the air. This doesn't ring right to me, but I got this strong sense. I even said, and you see people do this in movies and you think, oh, they're stupid. But I was like, Dad?
But you really felt like...
I said, Dad? Because I felt him there all of a sudden.
Interesting. Three, feeling their touch. A hug, a brush of your hair, holding your hand, or a gentle touching your back. These are some of the most comforting forms of connection that can happen. She says, feeling their touch is most common to sense in the days directly following your deceased loved one's passing. So right afterwards, I guess maybe they're still lingering?
Perhaps.
So they're trying to comfort you and communicate with you that you're okay. She says, some of those in spirits do continue to visit long after passing, usually using the ability of perceived touch.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to touch can also manifest in feeling them not touch you, but an object near you. For instance, noticing someone sit or lay down on the bed next to you. Anybody have an experience with that?
No, not that.
No. Although, I did, not with someone who was close to me, but my friend and I were, staying with her family. We went to vacation on the beach in Delaware, and my friend's mom had rented a shore house where there were a couple different bedrooms, and one of the bedrooms had bunk beds in it, so it was obviously the kids' room. And the father of the family had died recently, and that was why the family wasn't going on vacation to this house. They were renting it out that summer. And my friend and I, at different times, felt the presence of a man standing in the doorway.
Like it was something palpable?
I felt like, I didn't see an actual person, but I thought
an aura?
I saw the outline that looked like a man now, in the doorway.
Sometimes if you turn your head real quick, you think you see something
out of the corner of your eye. But I looked and I thought I saw a man in the doorway, and then I looked again and it was gone. And in the morning, I said to my friend, you're going to think I'm crazy, but this happened to me. And she goes, I saw it too.
See, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't the kind of people that were like, oh, we like to sit around the campfire and tell ghost stories. Like, she wasn't somebody that would just go, oh, me too. So we were both like kind of shaken by that. But we figured it felt benevolent. Like a dad checking in on the kids kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the kids' room, so it made sense.
I tell you, I had the bejesus scared out of me when I was in McClinton. We were doing a video at this old railway car. And we had the camera set up to do the video shoot. And this couple stopped and goes, what are you guys doing? I go, we're making a music video. Oh, I thought you were a ghost hunting program. And we're like,
what?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you guys were a ghost hunting program. And we're like, why? Because train car, this restaurant is haunted. And I'm like, you kidding me? Nope, it's haunted. You know, people seen ghosts. And we're like, whoa.
Well, the Darris Theater, where I used to teach my comedy class, we did shows in Boonton, New Jersey. That place is supposedly haunted.
Yeah.
A lot of places supposedly. You know, when we did Michigan, they took us, well, the place where we got banned, they took us, that place is supposedly haunted, the Holly Hotel.
You were saying that, yeah. But when we were packing up, Eddie, my drummer, goes, holy shit. I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, dude, you were packing your stuff. There was a little girl looking at you through the window. And I'm like, what? He goes, there was a little girl at the window looking at you. And I'm like, holy cow. And we were in a train. There's no kids. There's no nothing. We were in a train car.
Right.
And Ed was like, he goes, I wouldn't lie. He goes, I looked up and there was this little girl in the train car looking down at you.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, holy smokes.
Wow.
Yeah. And we were exploring it up. Like, before we knew it was ghosts, before the video, we were exploring and shit.
Yeah.
It was an old restaurant. You know, I was like,
Are you looking for something to eat?
No, we were just checking the place out because it was an old restaurant and a club and stuff like that. And then we had to clean the train car out, you know, everything
what?
And stuff like that. Yeah, because it was a mess. Which Mike didn't tell us, but we had to clean that out. So we spent about...
Clean it up! Do some mopping!
So we had to clean the train car for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours before we could start shooting.
All right, number 4 on Amanda's list. Smelling fragrances. The ability to smell a fragrance from a deceased loved one or spirit is called clairgustance.
Yes, I never heard of that before.
Neither did I. I've heard of smelling the fragrance. Mm-hmm. I never heard the term before.
Mm-hmm.
She says these visits commonly reported as fragrance of cigarette or cigar smoke, perfume. That's what I've heard. Perfume,
mm-hmm.
flowers, or cooking. If you smell cigar smoke and no one smokes in your house except your deceased grandfather, chances are it's him and he's letting you know he's around visiting and saying hello. I've kind of heard of that before.
I have too.
I've never experienced it.
I
don't know how to explain it away other than, you know what, somebody opens up a window and it catches something that's in the house, you know, like it's in the cushions or whatever.
Perhaps. But in the chat, Joe's girl said that she's had the fragrance thing happen to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was she was walking behind Joe, but there was no.
Joe is rolling his eyes so hard I thought they were going to get stuck.
No, Joe's on his best behavior. He's not in flatulence in those situations.
I have not smelled any kind of familiar, like, oh wow, that's somebody, but you do every once in a while you'll smell a smell out of nowhere and it brings up a very strong sense memory.
That's true.
Yes.
I've heard of this though. You smell your wife's perfume. I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't experienced it, but Joe's girl's experienced it. So it's, you know, we're touching on these things, and, you know, various people are having different reactions to things on Amanda's list.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who am I to say it can't happen?
Lisa says, you know, you're physically sensitive. Some people just are, that they can sense these things. I mean, you know how they often say that, you know, unfortunately, like, crazy people and children and dogs are more sensitive to things that... You know, I mean, as adults,
they could pick up. Yeah, you
they're more
pets,
open.
Yeah, they could pick up like a paranormal moment.
Mm-hmm. Hearing their voice. This is called clairaudience. It's possible to hear the voice of your deceased loved one externally, as though they are actually speaking to you in human form, or internally through thought or word transfer. See, I don't buy that internally because, you know, you can. Picture anything in your head.
Right.
I'm sure I'm buying that one.
I do.
Internal clairaudience is the most common way to hear a voice, as the hearing happens inside your mind. Why? Those in spirit no longer have a voice box, so creating an external noise is hard. She says, do you talk to your husband, grandmother, or best friend on the other side in your mind? Take a moment and wait and see if you hear a response. Usually you can. Learn how those in spirit... Oh, okay. See that to me... That's just wishful thinking.
I think
that that's an internal conversation you're having.
Although Gregor in the chat said when his dad died, he heard him talking to him, and he was like 7 hours away from where he lived, but he died moments after, according to his brother, who was with him at the moment.
So wait, right after his father crossed over?
Well, maybe it was at the time or right before, but it was right around then, and is like his dad was talking to him. Was not physically present. It was 7 hours away, but he heard him talking to them, and then he found out that was the moment he was dying, or just about to, from his brother who was with the dad.
It's kind of freaky.
Yeah, you know, and he said, but it was more like.
So Gregor had no idea his father was passing.
He said it was just before he passed. His dad came to him like he was there with him, but it was inside his head, more like a phone call.
Huh.
Yeah,
I tell you though, there's times when my mom passed away, and I do miss her a lot, and I'd be thinking about how much I missed her, and I hear her voice in my head, like almost like she's standing next to me, going, "I live my life, Joseph. This is your life now. I've lived my life. I'm done." You know, so it's
yeah, but that's a different characteristics to what you're getting in the dream. You know, on the one hand, she wants you to be happy. On the other hand,
and you'll see as we go on how it's different. Maybe perception, or if they are actually saying something.
Mm. See, I just don't see how you could prove hearing that voice. I don't see any way.
You can't prove any of this.
Well, I guess
that's why it's called faith. You know, that's the basis of all religion except killing each
other. Well, I mean, this is yeah, that's not in, that's was maybe that's number 11. Kill the ghost.
The Crusades is number 11.
Unexpected electrical activity. We see this in the movies a lot. They'll do that. This is like big for the movies.
Yep, like poltergeists.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have energy, and energy runs through all things, including electrical devices. For those on the other side, not only is it fun to learn how to use energy to reconnect, many of those in heaven learn that energy's electrical devices is quite easy to manipulate. Apparently, when you go to heaven, you can enroll in DeFry.
Smart ass.
North and Central. And you get to keep the tools.
Sure.
And you get to keep
the tools. To keep the harp.
For this reason, it's actually quite common for those in spirit to manipulate TV, lights, and toys to get your attention. They can turn things on and off, change channels, and make things move. You always see this in horror movies.
Yes.
With the evil ghost.
But poltergeists are supposed to be malevolent spirits, so I don't know if this is.
She doesn't really address malevolence, but if she comes on, I'd like to address that with her.
I know.
But also, there's a lot of extra paranormal. Sometimes effects with what they say, effects with radio waves or TV waves.
I'd like to think that's why our equipment failed for months.
When my obviously when my mom was alive, I said, "Hey, Ma, when you die, mm-hmm. I go give me a sign from the other side to show that you're there." And I don't have time for this. I go, you're going to be gone for eternity. What else do you have to do? Would you do?
It's a quarter to eternity. Where are you going, Ma?
So I go. Could you do me the one favor? And when the time comes that you're no longer here, if you could give me a sign that you're here. Oh, for crap! All right, whatever.
I like how your mom doesn't want to be bothered with
that's
you.
That's what she said. That.
Don't bother me.
It's bad enough I have to deal with you in this world. Now I have to deal with you in the afterworld.
Yeah. I have to keep all the clouds tidy, and I gotta.
What does she gotta do? You're
that's
right.
What I told her when she was alive. What do you got? You're in eternity. What are you?
But then again, you don't know. You're not there. There might be a lot of busy work. Maybe she's got show prep.
My wedding day. My wedding day.
Which was how long after your mom passed?
That was my mom died in 92. I got married in 96.
Okay, that's quite a ways.
Took the limo and split the AC, but nonetheless, I was waiting for my buddies to show up, my groomsmen to show up, and I'm alone in the house, and the TV was on, and it was the morning of my wedding, and I said, okay, I look up, yeah, I asked you, today's the day, I want a sign from you.
Wait, you asked on your wedding day?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you asked just to let her know that you were okay, like right after she passed.
No, because I don't want to chance my favors, you know.
I got one request, and this is it.
But plus she knew I wasn't screwing around, you know. So, I said,
your mom wanted no shit from you.
No, God, no. People that know her. Oh,
wish I could have met her. Oh, we have a lot too. In common.
Yeah, Joe's girl knew her. Yeah.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. So I go, all right, Ma. I go, I'm getting married today. I want to know that you're here. And I go, this is the favor. If you're looking over and you're here, I want a sign from you today, please. 5 minutes later, the TV totally went staticky. Totally. For about five. It never.
For how long?
For about maybe 5 minutes. Never happened before that. Never happened. Okay.
Just letting you know.
Hi, Ma.
We just heard knocking next door. Yeah.
Hi, Ma.
Stop talking about me.
Let me call in from the great beyond.
Yeah, let me finish the
you
story,
think
Joe.
Diving Goose, I'm Joseph. I could spend the whole show. But anyway.
I'd love to have Ghost Mom on.
No, she'd be great. She'd kill. Betty was a pisser. But anyway.
I bet Ghost Mom would kill.
Yeah. And it never happened before that, and it never happened after that.
Were you freaked out?
Yes. And I was convinced it was her.
So let me ask you a question. You get ready to sell your house. Are you afraid... with the house, your mom's going to stay there?
You know what? That is a very good question.
That's
why
I
thought
ask
of that.
Him.
Because, well, all right, isn't he wonderful?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yes.
Because my mom died there.
Right. So, does that sadden you? Or does it give you freedom?
I've got a lot of issues with that house. There's a lot of issues.
Do you think your mom still inhabits that house?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Because my mom thought she saw my grandmother's spirit, my father's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom told me one time, she goes, I think I saw your grandmother's spirit. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I saw this white light, and I see this white light going through this house all the time, and I'm convinced it's your grandmother looking for your father. And there was one night I yelled at that light, and I said, he's not here anymore. He's dead. Find him in the afterlife. And never saw it again. So I think, you know, she's convinced of that.
Wow.
Your mom didn't take crap from even ghosts.
I know, really.
No, she didn't take shit from anybody. That's why she was
naked. Getting ready to go to hell, starts yelling at Satan. Satan's like, fine, screw it, go back upstairs. I don't need this type of attitude down here. I'm the Prince of Darkness. I don't need this crap.
Yeah.
I'm Nettie.
Get out of here.
You're the Prince of Darkness. I'm Nettie Curry. Do you know who I am?
Well, you know what? You know what the funny thing was, one time she was going to retire, I'm moving to Florida. And I'm like, I told her, I go, why don't you go move to Florida? I don't like Florida. There's alligators down there. And I go, let me tell you something. An alligator sees you is going to go, it's Nettie, and jump in and swim to the Gulf. I go,
all of a sudden starts running on 2 feet, which is impossible for an alligator.
But I was thoroughly convinced. But maybe she was telling me, don't get married, stupid. Go to AC with the guys.
Oh, maybe.
Amanda continues on this one. Songs on the radio that are meaningful to you or your lost loved one are a favorite way for those on the other side to deliver your message that you may need to hear right on that exact moment with electricity. See, that I just chalk up to coincidence.
I can't get behind that one.
That's just coincidence.
No.
I gotta say.
I can't. The thing is that, you know what, I mean, Mr. Helix works at a radio station. He decides what's going to go on the radio at that moment. And there are no ghosts controlling Mr. Helix, telling him what to play. You know what I mean? No. Just no.
It just strikes me as coincidence. I mean, yeah. But I'm sure, but you know what, I'm sure that does bring back memories for people.
Oh, of course.
This was our song, you know, if it's a matter, yeah. Yep.
Or the lyrics are especially poignant.
But see, that's just too coincidence for me.
Yeah.
You know, now, if you hear it on 5 different stations and it's a rare song, all right, you got me.
Yeah. Or if you're playing a radio game on tour.
Yeah. Listen, if I want to All Night by Kiss is on 5 different stations all of a sudden, all right, I get it. You never hear that.
Yeah.
This is a song we used to make love to. I get it.
Oh, my God.
Well, it would be with, like, the wife. It wouldn't be with, like, a mom or a dad.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, unless you're West Virginia, and then, hey,
ew.
Who am I to judge?
So ew.
A phone call. The day after my father passed, this is Amanda talking. The day after my father passed over, I received several phone calls from unknown numbers with nothing but static on the other line. While discussing this event with friends, they recounted similar experiences in the days following the passing of their loved ones. Since a phone is an electrical object, manipulating the energy to make a phone call is not much different than other electrical activity. This sign could occur in the months or years following the crossing of a loved one. It seems to be most common in immediate days following the transition. I wonder if that works in cell phones.
Hmm. Well, they're
electrical
as well.
You don't get
well.
Static on the cell phone. No, you don't. You never
don't.
Get static. You get it on a landline.
But maybe the phone would ring and nobody's there.
But again, you get that in movies. You say they've shown that in movies.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it makes sense. If you're going to get it on the TV, it makes sense you could on the phone.
Sure.
It's kind of freaky, though.
It is, because the idea that, you know, somebody's from a distance or whatever plane they're on manipulating things, physical items, even though it's energy, being able to manipulate them so that, you know, we can experience them on this plane. That's a little scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Receiving a symbolic message sign, coincidence, or synchronicity. That was a good police album.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How good was that? Synchronicity 2 was good on that album, too. Mm.
Your deceased loved ones are often very eager to let you know they are a part of your life and with you when you least expect it. While many people can feel their deceased loved ones watching over them sometimes, kind of goes over what you were talking about, Pip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be that perceptive or be sure what we felt was really what we thought it was. So those in spirit will provide us with signs we can't ignore. Once you receive this type of sign time and time again, you will know this is a message from the other side, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. This sign can and will come to you in a variety of ways, and the key is to keep your eye open for synchronicities and anything out of the ordinary. That's a very generic thing.
Well, it is, and it's...
It's very vague, that's
the
word.
Well, here's the deal, and here's a key thing. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise, okay?
Yeah.
Two things with me. On Easter, I went to my parents' grave.
Okay.
And I'm at the grave, I'm saying a little prayer, and I'm talking to them. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm going to be selling a house. This is it. I might be losing half of it. I go, I work. You guys work so hard. I go, I feel maybe I let you guys down. I just, if you're there, I need some help to look me over, to guide me on this. You know, because I feel awful that, you know.
It's hard.
I go, this was your house, and I felt I blew it, you know, but I please guide me, you know, if you're there, and watch over me and help me through this whole process. While I was saying that, the sun broke away from the clouds and started shining on my face.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sitting there going, all right. I go, all right, the rational side is taking over, going, all right, the cloud just moved. And I go, but I just had such a feeling of peace watching the sun in my face and feeling a breeze. And it was the first warm breeze of the year, so it felt like spring. So it just felt like I was being hugged by the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I don't give it. And like I said, right here.
Hope you said I don't give a damn.
Tell you otherwise.
Right.
That I know was a sign from my mother or my parents saying that it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Another recurrence that happened was after my dad committed suicide, maybe about a month later, I was in the backyard. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. I know this was real. I know it was real. I'm in the backyard. I look up in the sky, and I see a cross in the sky with Dad under it. And I ran into the house, and I told my mom there was a thing. Oh, you didn't see anything. I think about it all the time. I saw it. I saw that in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people see what they want to see. I mean, that's the other side of that. People see what they want to see in clouds.
But, you know, I mean,
I see a horsey. I mean, if you want to see it, you can see it.
But it wasn't like a cloud that looked like it was a cross with Dad that I saw in the sky. And I know it was real. I know it was real.
But isn't suicide against that religion?
But that's the key.
Yeah.
I think that was the key that maybe my fault, maybe that the higher being understood why my father took his life and why he patted me on the head and walked away.
Are you saying that not everything in the Bible is true?
I'm saying the Bible is a story, and there's probably a lot of what's the word when you add something to it?
Hyperbole? Or?
Embellish.
Embellish.
There's probably a lot of embellishments to the story, but just the thing where, yeah, you know what? Maybe the church, the Catholic Church says it's a sin or whatever, but maybe there's a just God that looked at my father's situation and felt bad, and, you know, maybe my father said, you know, I just want my son to know that, you know, I'm still looking over him, and maybe that was a sign.
Well, that would
maybe
be nice.
But I know that I saw that. I know that I saw
Well, Amanda that. Gives us a few things to look for. She says, small objects, feathers, coins, and stones. Spirits like to place things in our path that were significant to them or significant to us over and over again. She says her father collected stones and would often place new stones in the path of herself, her mother, and her sister when he visited. However, others see feathers, coins, and other small objects usually in their path. See, to me, I don't know. I mean, feathers, stones, they're everywhere.
Well, I mean, coins, feathers, stones.
I mean, that's stuff you find all over the place.
That's stuff you just find when you look down. I have had this experience, though, and I know what kind of jokes you guys can make about this right away, but...
Maybe you should make them first.
I should.
That would take away all the fun.
But if it's so easy, do you really want easy ones, Joe?
Well, it's late. I could take a curveball.
All right, Pips, give us the softball. We're ready.
Well, over many years, I find marbles.
We see the obvious there.
Yeah.
When you shake your head. Yeah.
Look at Joe pouncing on it. I step back. I'm like, this is way too easy. Joe just tells us his cross in the sky story, and we listen like he's perfectly normal. Pip tries to tell her story, and Joe just goes in for the attack. Let the record state who the prick was on this episode.
Let the record state.
Let the record state. Hear ye.
Joe was a pricketh.
Lion pricketh was Joseph Thompson.
Wow, he knew he was such a prick. He threw out the middle name.
Yes, yes. That's the type of pricketh he was.
Yeah,
he was. You only usually hear the middle name when you're in trouble.
Yes.
So continue. You lost your marbles and found them.
I see. I knew this was the easy one, but over the years, it's it's too, it's not a common thing for people to find. You know, you don't, like, it's not like...
I'm being nice. Dumbbells over there.
He's
snickering.
Literally biting his thumb.
I did not say a thing.
I know you could snicker like a big dog.
Even Lisa's piling on. Are you saying you lost your marbles, Pip? Yes.
All right, Pip. Sucks to be you. Sorry, kid.
But very brave of you to share.
Yes.
I told people I lost my marbles years ago.
You didn't have to tell us. We know.
I know. This is an open secret.
Coming in to mop up the... Just gnawing the bones that were left. Like a vulture on this
I'm trying to.
You're like the joke vulture. I'll just nibble on the bones that are left.
All right, so the marbles are all over the place.
Well, I mean, most people I've told this to, I don't tell everybody.
Well, you just thought you'd share it on the radio.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, most people don't. Derek in the chat is piling on, too. Derek from Gone Rogue Radio is here, and he goes, I'm missing a fake testicle. I didn't find that, Derek, damn it.
Her eyes aren't that good. She wouldn't see that.
Oh, no, I would notice if I saw a fake testicle rolling around.
That would be a nudicle.
A nudicle.
He would have a nudicle.
It's your dog.
Yes.
And thank you for telling everybody on the radio that you have one of those, Derek. Very brave. But
it's really just a big sharing show.
It really is.
Yes.
But the thing is that I would find them in the oddest places. Like when my after my dad had died and my mom moved out, and my brother and I bought a two-family house together. And it was a long process looking for houses and everything, and we bought it. And then when we went in after we had closed, I started having this like little panic moment, like, oh God, what have I done? This is just like a huge responsibility. And you know, this room looks a lot smaller than it did when we first looked at it. And what, you know, what am I crazy buying?
Having a panic attack.
House with my
buyer's remorse. Buyer's remorse.
Oh no, is this the right place? Did I do it? Oh, so I'm like looking around the place to see, like, you know, where do I have to start to fix things up and everything. And I open, this place was empty. I open the closet and there's a marble.
Did they have children?
No.
See, that's kind of weird. That would kind of freak me out. Now, marbles was like your dad's thing with you?
No, no. It was not a thing that I had with anyone, but I used to play marbles when I was a little kid.
Right.
You know, I had a whole bunch of them, and I used to divide them up by color and pretend that they were like, you know, countries, and, you know, pretend that this country was invading that country, and all of a sudden the marbles would get all mixed up.
Kind of like President Bush.
The oranges and the greens would be like
that's how we planned the Iraq war. He just got all those marbles together. Dick Cheney standing over him.
Well, that's just how they plan things out. And, you know, so...
Note that I'm rolling my eyes.
I guess I was...
Like a marble.
Noted. Let the record state Joe Thomas is rolling his eyes.
Joseph Thompson.
Joseph Thompson? Thompson?
Thompson.
Joseph,
well,
I like
Thompson.
That. So...
Now I'm rolling my eyes.
So, I mean, there was another time where I was upset, and I was walking around in front of the apartments that I used to live in when I... You know, the whole family was still intact. And I looked down and there's a marble in the dirt. I was on the side of a road once.
It's kind of weird.
The car broke down. I was very upset. We were just coming back from a funeral. And there in the dirt, in all the stuff on the side of the road, there's a marble.
So did it give you a sense of peace?
It made me feel like after it happened enough times, like I was like, that's really funny. Like, what is this? Like, I'm feeling really upset and, like, distraught about things, and I find this little remarkable thing. And then as it kept happening, and it's happened so many times,
Have you kept the marbles?
I have them in different places. I should keep them all together. But, yeah, it keeps happening. Last year I was digging in the front yard gardening, and I was moving. There's this low-lying kind of ground crawler shrub that we have along our driveway, and I was digging out under a piece of it because it was growing a little too long, and there's a marble in the dirt underneath the shrub, and I'm like, wow. And I was sitting there like I was kind of like doing the gardening because I was frustrated about some life things.
So you think that's your dad communicating with you?
I don't know.
Also, a key thing you said is a sense of peace. Now, like I said, when I was at the graveside a couple of weeks ago and the sun was shining in my face, I mean, there was a part that said, really, really. But the sense of peace that I had overcame that You know, I just got such a feeling of peace and comfort that I'm like, you want to know something? I'm believing this is a sign.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Amanda continues. Animals, spirits use energy to be with us, and often it is through the energy of the animal world, such as a butterfly, bird, ladybug, dragonfly, or other creatures. Never a bad animal like a crocodile just bites you in the ass. Hey, I'm here, asshole. Never a shark just wanted to say hello from the other side. It's all shit that can't hurt you.
Yeah, I don't see mosquitoes on this list.
Oh, they're there all the time. They're your ex-wife. Sucking you dry.
Joanne, get off. Get off. Stop it.
Yeah. Joe, it's okay. You're dreaming again.
Yeah. Now, I want to say, I don't know if this is absolutely true, but when my wife's grandmother died, she loved butterflies, my wife's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife would, like, buy her butterfly things and everything or something. Skylar shared with her, my daughter, too. So I want to say shortly after she died, I'd have to have my wife on here maybe to clarify, but I want to say that they saw, like, a butterfly. Not that it means anything.
Right.
But I do remember, like, it put a smile on her face and everything. So she says if an animal does something usual, like land in front of you or on you, stare at you through a window, or call in your path, this could be a sign.
I believe that to be true. There was a bird that, and this is something else that never really happened before or after. There was a bird that landed on my office window at home, and he would be there. I actually have a picture of him, and we named him Fred. And Fred,
your mom doesn't like that name.
Well, I get a funny feeling.
I'm not Fred.
I get a feeling that I get a feeling that was my mom, or a sign from my mom, because that bird used to sit in that window all the time.
Yeah, but I used to have a squirrel that used to climb my screen door.
I know, but still.
We fed it, and then it peed
but
in the door while I was hanging there. That wasn't good. You stopped feeding it afterwards.
Stupid squirrel. You feed him, stupid.
Wasn't me. I was a kid. It was my parents.
I had a squirrel. But this
could be a squirrel. They're lovely. They have bushy tails.
No, they're
cute.
They stink. But they had.
This is why squirrels don't visit you anymore. You have a bad squirrel attitude.
Yeah.
And they pee on you. So
yeah, what type of bird was it?
It was, I don't know the type of bird. It was a small little bird, and it would sit on.
Was it colorful?
No, it was like a brownish bird.
Oh, because like Amanda says, it's usually like a cardinal or blue jay, something colorful.
It was like a brown. Yeah, it was an interesting brown bird, but it was just weird that this bird insisted to sit there. Never happened once. Never happened again. And
it never saw a monkey that could type.
And once it.
Told its other friends, look at a load of stupid over here.
But it was, and I think that was a sign from my mom.
Now, how long after your mom passed was this?
This was probably about 3 months.
It's all still relatively soon.
Yeah.
Is it coincidence? There's just no way of knowing.
This one is really difficult for me because it's like, you know, I had a friend who passed from cancer, and she loved butterflies as well. And but I have a butterfly bush in my front yard, and I can't think that they're all spirits coming to wish me well or say hi.
Well, it's a bush
that attracts butterflies.
No, I think it's like,
so that's not a remarkable.
No, that's not.
But if
that's
one
a butterfly
them,
being a butterfly,
if a butterfly flew into my house and landed on my head, I might go, oh wow,
that would freak you out. But say you swatted it.
Yeah,
but
no,
sometimes it was just with this bird. It was different with this bird. The way
it's looked at you.
It looked at me in a way. It was that. I mean, we used to have a pheasant that used to come by all the time. His name is Fifi. We named it Fifi.
I'll tell you what. Any type of varmint that walks into your property, it's leaving with a name.
I know. Yes, it is.
We had a family of rats. We named them all.
Well, there was one rat that I was trying to kill in a garage. I couldn't catch, and Joanne insisted I named it because he thought it was my pet. But your pet's in the garbage pile. I go, it's not my pet. I can't kill a son of a bitch. He keeps taking the cheese and running off with it. I put bologna out there. He ran off with that. I hate that.
Well, rats are very intelligent.
They are.
Joe Curry's not always.
Well, he made an asshole out of me, let me tell you.
Telling his other rat friends, getting a little stupid. He thinks I'm a sign. I'm just a rat.
I remember having a smoke. I'm sitting on my porch having a smoke one night, and I see him walking up the street. Like it's time
you were on his route.
Not a care in the world. Coming on to the
He knows
garage.
When he's the superior
no,
beast.
Stupid can't catch. And I'm sitting there smoking, looking at the raccoon. Does he realize I'm trying to kill him? He could give a shit less. He's just held it, la-da-da-da, out of the sump. I'm going to, well, it's time for dinner. Let me leave the sump, go to Stupid's Pail and Snick Snack.
Sure. You know? He's got a rat family at home counting on him. Thanks for the baloney, Stupid.
Yeah, I wonder what that asshole set up for me today.
Yeah, you were his restaurant. You were like his McDonald's. Yeah. He thought very highly of you, Joe.
Yeah, probably did.
I wonder what it means when you're outsmarted by a rodent.
He made me into an asshole.
Oh, let's not blame him.
Rat. He didn't need your ass.
He was just taking advantage. I give him full credit. I'm sure genetics had something to do with that.
Lisa says he was laughing at you, Joe.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Joe's killing on the rat set. Oh, he's our favorite comic.
Oh, I caught him in a pail one time. He was coming out of the pail. I'm like, ah! And he just looked at me and was stupid. And then just ran
I'm
away.
A rat, stupid. You're bigger. Make your move.
I know.
You got nothing, piss off. I got other houses to visit.
He just looked at me like stupid and then ran away.
You ever catch the rat?
No. I don't know what happened.
He still talks about you, too.
I got more baloney to collect. Leave
he's
me alone.
Probably into some of the other rats. This asshole thinks he's going to the old lady yells at him. It's hysterical.
Rat's got a radio show. I'll tell the rats, like, at the one time he and the bird had it in for stupid. Yeah, we don't usually work together with birds, but I had a good feeling about this bird.
Yeah, but this lummox was too much. We had to just make bygones be bygones.
The bird would keep lookout, and I would steal a bologna and cheese, and we would share it afterwards. He thinks it was a visitation. No, it was a hit.
Yeah. It was us putting a sandwich together.
We just sit there going, boys, he's dumb as they come. Let me tell you. Want some more cheese?
50-50 with the bird.
Here's your cut.
And they say, I have the bird brain. I don't think so.
No, the lummox in the garage with the trap has the bird.
Stupid's wife is giving him the what for, and we're dining like it's a buffet.
Yeah.
And nope. You just hear, snap, God damn it. Look, he almost caught himself.
See, that's how it works, Stupid.
I got news for you. That wasn't a trap. It was a lunch counter.
You got to love it when vermin is talking shit to you.
It's sitting there in the gutter having a cigarette going, na 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 na.
He really is stupid. I'm glad he moved in.
Boy, yeah.
The TV was right. We were good friends with Nettie when she was alive. She used to leave out cheese. Now she told me to come back and taunt Stupid.
Yeah, no dumbbells in charge. This will be cake. Which she actually left out in the pail, too.
Yeah, well, there's cake. Oh, my God.
Could be. Let's see. Flowers. Spirits can send us flowers in unexpected ways. If you receive a flower sign, it could be in the form of an unexpected bouquet or gift, or a flower that is blooming out of season. Mm. All right, you know what? If I see a crocus in December...
Why would a heavy metal band from the 80s be out there?
Because they can't get any other gigs, Joe, of course. They work when they can.
Says we're not opening for them.
Yeah. I have to say the one that he's primed up, ready to hit out of the park.
We're playing Davin's Lawn tonight.
But, you know, you see a flower like that in December, you might go, well, this was Mom's favorite flower.
Yeah,
that would be really odd, and that would stand out, yeah.
So she tells the story. A few months ago, she asked for a sign, and specifically in the form of flowers, and 3 days later... arrived, she went to work and there was a bouquet on her desk. She asked, no one had any idea where the flowers came from. And another example, did your mother love bulb flowers such as tulips, daffodils? Suddenly you might notice one pop up in your yard with a sign like this is worth taking notice. See, to me, if it's in season, well, all right, a bee, you know, pollinated it.
Right.
That would mean nothing to me.
No.
People. Your loved ones on the other side will use people to give you messages. Yeah, we communicate with each other, except for married couples.
Yeah, it's just grunts.
And generally, the person delivering the message is not aware of it. So that's kind of like, she's kind of saying, like, the person from the other side takes over somebody in your life.
Or, like, plants a seed in their head, and they're like, they all of a sudden feel moved to tell you something. I don't know how this would work exactly. How you would know that's a message or...
Well, unless they say, hey, this is a message.
Yeah, but...
I'm agreeing with Pip. That's kind of...
it's hard to.
I don't understand.
Well, Amanda says, listen to those around you. The words they are speaking may be a direct message from the spirit world to you. Also, those in the spirit may send meaningful people in your direction, such as teachers, life partners, and new best friends. I'm not buying that one.
No, I don't think
that's just life.
I don't think anybody sent me Mr. Helix. I think he was just caught in my web.
Possible.
Yeah.
Movement. Sometimes those in spirits will move objects to get your attention. Again, you see this in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the same photograph keep on falling? Yeah, because the nail sucks. Is the same thing always being misplaced or lost while in your possession? This is something right out of the movies.
Yeah.
Consider this method of communication as it most commonly sent to those whose attention is hard to reach. Also, moving objects will oftentimes create noise, which can startle awareness to you.
There was a weird situation. I was working up at one of the comedy clubs. He had a satellite club up in Alexandria Bay, up way up in New York by Canada. There was a girl that was sitting there, got totally inebriated, and she fell over. She fell over drunk and stuff like that. And
she got taken over by the spirits.
Well, yeah, those spirits, yeah.
Those spirits.
So we're all just hanging out. Now we're in, like, holy smokes mode, right? So we're trying to, you know, call the cops and get the ambulance and stuff like that. All of a sudden, these canisters, like these glass canisters that are sitting on the bar, just fly off.
That's, like, wait, you saw this?
I saw it. And I go, what's that? One of the girls goes, it's the ghost. I go, it's the ghost. Yeah, the ghost is pissed about something. And I'm like, and I saw it.
Pissed the bitch can't hold her liquor.
I guess. And I started yelling at the ghost. I'm like, really? At a time like this, you're going to start this shit? Can't you see what
you're giving the ghost the what for? You can't even handle a rat. You're going to talk to a ghost?
Well, whatever pisses me off gets my ear. But, you know. But it just
talking to Casper, giving Casper
the shit. The girls at the club were so used to it. Like, it just flew off. I saw it fly off. I go, What happened? She goes, oh, it's the ghost. Sore as hell.
And they're all blasé about it?
Yeah, oh, constantly cleaning up after stupid ghosts.
Because they've seen it do it before. She goes, yeah, the ghost is pissed.
How far did it fly?
Flew right off the cannon. It wasn't thrown, but you could. There's nothing there, no, and it's just.
That's weird.
Off. Yeah.
You saw this?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is really creepy.
That would make me think.
Yeah. I also saw, like, paranormal stuff when I was working in Scranton. Yeah, I'm bragging where I'm working. there was a comic who was a psychic, and we went up to this room that a guy killed himself. It's actually, I was in the room 2 years later, but the guy killed himself. So she had these rods, and they connected her spirit, and the rods were moving back and forth to connect to the afterworld. And I'm like, all right, carny trick.
Yeah.
Gives it to the bartender. You ever work at the Weisskrackers in Scranton?
Yeah.
Okay, you know the girl, the heavyset girl that worked behind the bar?
I don't remember.
Well, but she's just a bartender. She's the bar manager. She has no. She goes, can I try? She gets in. Now I'm watching her.
Right.
Because now if this is real, she doesn't know.
Right. She doesn't know how to do this.
And all of a sudden, though, she was calling the spirit. And those, you know, you asked the question, did the guy die a peaceful death? Yes or no? Yeah. What, you know, move the rod if it was yet. And the rod moves.
Kind of like the theory behind a Ouija board.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, the one woman, there's no way that she was in on this, and there's no way she
did
would
Did you
know
hold
anybody.
Her?
Huh? No, I was too scared.
Yeah, I wouldn't want any part of that.
Are we talking about a ghost?
You just yelled at one, stupid. You thought that was smart?
Well,
yeah.
Because they were making a mess. There was a crisis going on, and the ghost had to do ghost shit. There's a time and place for everything. Do ghost shit later. Would you want to help this
girl?
Yeah,
it's like, it's going to be all about you, Mr.
Yeah,
Ghost.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's all about really, really, now, now. Cut it out. Do ghost shit later.
Like there's a to-do ghost list.
Yes. I also yelled at another. I thought I had a ghost in my house one time because the light kept coming on and stuff like that. I go, I didn't turn it on. Why is that light on? And I go, don't tell me I have a ghost. And I started yelling. I go, listen to me. If you want to be a ghost, rattle chain, say boo, but don't run up my electric bill, okay? Or your foot in the bill, ghost, okay?
I like how Joe thinks he can rule the afterworld.
I know.
He can't even rule this world. He can't even rule his life, hey, but he's
look,
yelling at ghosts.
Yeah, you know what? Say boo, do what you want. Don't win a crisis situation.
It's a ghost. It will do what it wants to.
It's not its own business. Can't it work out? And why is it the why the hell is it running on my electric bill?
Because it can.
Well, let him pay the bills.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have ghost coins.
Well, wait.
He's giving them all to people, to science.
No. But can it work electricity? He could do an electronic transfer.
That's true, Joe.
Yeah.
All right. The last one. That's all I got to say about that.
That's exactly how that sounded.
Yeah. All right.
Alrighty then.
Pip had a point. We'll all memorialize it. This is her final one. Seeing their apparition, flat photo hologram What was it, like Tupac at Coachella? partial full.
Oh, they did that at Coachella again?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Oh, I remember they did that. That looked pretty cool.
I think they did it with Michael Jackson, too.
I think it's creepy.
Yeah. Believe it or not, seeing an apparition while you are awake with your eyes open is one of the least common methods on the list. No, I believe it's not that common. though it's mostly widely cited in popular media due to its shock value, it's quite rare. And just because your deceased loved one isn't appearing to you in full, quote, ghost form, doesn't mean they haven't attempted to contact in one of the many other methods listed. If you do see a deceased loved one as an apparition, they can appear in a variety of ways, either full body or partial, usually just a face. Since coming through the veil of the physical world requires quite a bit of practice and skill, sometimes only the face or bust is possible, while others can figure out how to appear in full form. How do you know how much practice it takes? Is there a ghost training camp like their Al-Qaeda? Are ghosts running the monkey bars?
You got plenty of time to work on it. You know, you got eternity.
I mean, this is a little much here.
Yeah, I wonder if God hits the roof if you start doing that, because, you know, it's like, does he really want you, you know, butting into the regular world?
If God's ruling things, you're doing it because he don't care.
I guess.
Or he's for it.
You know, but if I was God, it's like, shh, so everything's supposed to be a mystery. What are you doing?
There's no chance of that, so don't worry. Remember to be sure that what you've experienced is, quote, the work of a spirit and not just a coincidence. Trust your intuition and then simply ask for the same method of communication to repeat and wait. You may have to wait a few days, but if it is a loved one, it'll happen again. You know what? If it kept on happening, I would believe.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? If it happened several times within a month, I go, all right, you got me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, one time you just think, all right, maybe I'm drunk. Maybe I turned my head too quick.
Maybe I'm just suggestible because I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, you
want to
see it.
Well, you know what, though? Like I said, with the static on my teeth, never happened once, never happened again. And, you know, if it happened all the time, I'm like, all right, you got to calm down.
Right.
With the bird, if there was another bird that would land or something, all right, you got to calm down. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the two other things where I saw this, like with the sun coming through the clouds, I'm like I said, the one side of me said, really? But I just had this sense of peace. And like I said, seeing the cross in the sky with that under it, I knew I saw that.
Well, that's the thing with the marbles. It's like it's not a really common thing for people to find everywhere. Yeah. It's not like coins or pebbles, which I don't understand with the stones, how you would know that that was a specially sign placed there for you, or if it's just a rock. You know, I don't know what, is it a significant kind
of
stone?
We're going to have to leave it there. It's certainly food for thought. Clearly, you guys and our audience has experienced things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Maybe Amanda will call in at some point. Maybe she'll give us some clarification.
Yeah, because we do have questions.
Certainly worth investigating down the line, very interesting.
Just one quick thing. When you go to awake and you see somebody in the casket, it just looks like their soul has left. It feels like there is a soul that we all have. And this is just a vessel it's in.
Well, yeah, but it's because their eyes are done over. They're, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, the just, eyes are the window to the soul.
Because
they are.
But what I'm saying is,
ghosts don't want to be at a funeral.
I feel the presence leaves to go somewhere else.
Ghosts are probably like dancing, having a party somewhere. I'm out of here.
Yeah, but someplace else.
Look at
back
as
a clothes tree. I'm a clothes tree. All right, don't hang your jacket on me.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, HawkRadio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.